Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, Tuesday, April 28th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 153, the third paragraph that begins with "in the chapter." We'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Kim T. for the 12 Steps, Courtney M. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Kara L., Ellen D., and Don B. The share ID for Monday, April 27th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,511. That's 14511. And for this morning's April 28th meeting, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 14,517. That's 14517. Our newcomer greeter for today is Wendy B., and the announcements are being made by Leslie M. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through our shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Kim T. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. This is Kim T., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thank you, Kim T. Courtney M., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Yes, thank you. This is Courtney M., recovering in Southwest Florida. Thank you so much for letting me do service this month. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Okay, thank you, Courtney M. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker, should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 153. We'll be reading two paragraphs. Sorry, Kara, I told you incorrectly the first time. So we'll be starting on with the paragraph that begins in the chapter, and we'll be reading through two paragraphs with the one ending, feeling and controversy. So good morning, Kara. Would you get us started, please?
Sure. Good morning. Thank you. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. In the chapter, Working with Others, you gathered an idea of how we approach and aid others to health. Suppose now that through you, several families have adopted this way of life. You will want to know more of how to proceed from that point. Perhaps the best way of treating you to a glimpse of your future will be to describe the growth of the fellowship among us. Here's a brief account. Years ago, in 1935, one of our number made a journey to a certain western city. From a business standpoint, his trip came off badly. He had been successful in his enterprise. Had he been successful in his enterprise, he would have been set on his feet financially, which at the time seemed virtually vitally important. But his venture wound up in a lawsuit and bogged down completely. The proceeding was a shot through with much hard feeling and controversy. So here we have good morning. My name is Kara Elligan, recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. A little trippy over my words this morning. Sorry, guys. Here we have, we've been through, you know, doctor's opinion, there's a solution, more about alcoholism, the actions, we've been through how to work with a sponsee, how to find sponsees, and now we're going to be talking about what's life like, you know, now that you're in this design for living, and what's life like, and I think about that, and I think about, you know, they're saying, well, let's show you a little bit of what's happened to us. Let's go into more detail. And we're going to get this great story about Bill and how he meets Bob and Dr. Bob. And as we move forward to this story in this chapter, it really shows me how a higher power works in my life. I see the example how a higher power is working and the set of circumstances that come up that just roll into one another. It just happens to be this place and this person. And I know for me, being recovered and working with others, that is a true story for me today. That when I wake up in the morning and I ask God to direct my thinking, divorcing it from self-pity, self-seeking, and dishonesty. And then I sit and I listen and I go through my day. And when I run into things I don't know, I ask for intuition, an inspiring thought, or a decision. And then I move on. And then I ask to be, you know, given freedom from self every morning and to be in my higher power's will and to be of service and bring my higher power's light into everything I do. Things just seem to fall into place. I don't work. It's not a struggle. You know, I finish with a sponsee through the steps, new sponsees show up. You know, things just seem to, but when I have my hands on it, and when I'm trying to control it through my will, things are difficult. You know, I practice little moments of meditation and prayer throughout the day. I pray, I ask God for God's input. And then I stop and I listen. So I pray and I meditate throughout the day. God, what would you like me to do? You know, you guys have heard me before say, I might hold, you know, one lipstick in one hand, one lipstick in the other, and just go with whatever feels intuitive. Same with my food, you know. And what do I get today? I get freedom. I get freedom from the food obsession. I get a design for living that just really takes me through my life. I get the privilege of working steps. I get the privilege of when I feel unease, writing it up and talking to another fellow. I get the privilege of reading this big book with fellows and discussing it and finding something new every time. It is a beautiful way of life, and I am ever so grateful. Thank you all who are doing service and bringing this meeting for us today. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you so much, Kara L., for getting us started this morning. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on page 153? We're reading two paragraphs this morning, starting with the third paragraph in the chapter, ending with the fourth paragraph that ends with feeling and controversy. So who would like to share on those two paragraphs? Dawn B.
Shelly C.R. Marilyn T.
Anyone else want to share on these two paragraphs? We're so quiet this morning. Well, let's start with those three, Dawn B., Shelly C.R., and Marilyn T. Go ahead, Dawn B.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. Yeah, this paragraph reminds me that I really don't know what needs to happen next. Not for me and not for anyone. I don't have, from my human perspective, I really don't know if something, you know, takes place. It's best if I don't spend time judging it as negative or, and if I just remember that from my higher powers perspective, this may be exactly what needs to take place in order for the greater good to be the end result. And I don't have that vantage point for my higher power. I like the image of the universe, you know, with billions and billions of stars. And then I saw this poster one time that had that pictured on it, just billions of stars. And then a little tiny arrow in the lower left-hand corner, a tiny, tiny arrow that says, you are here. And it was just one point of light. And, of course, that one point of light was our, you know, galaxy and with billions of stars in it as well. And so the perspective that I have as a human being is so minute, is so minuscule, in comparison to my higher power's perspective, the creator of all that there is. And so for me, it behooves me to not spend a lot of time, you know, anguishing over, from my perspective, how life, I think it needs to go in order for me to be okay, in order for my loved ones to be okay, you know. And if I take a step back and say, I am blind, but my higher power sees perfectly, I don't know what needs to happen next, not for me and not for anyone, in order for the greater good to be the end result, but my higher power does. And so today I'm going to relax. I am going to trust that I am loved and my family is loved more than I can begin to imagine with my mind, and that all is well. All is well, and I do not need to worry. And that my higher power is going to be using whatever takes place to accomplish my higher power's will and purposes, so that the greater good may be the end result. And thank you for letting me share, and with that I pass.
Thank you, Don B. Shelley C.R., it is your turn, followed by Marilyn T. Star one to unmute,
good,
Shelley.
Good. Yep, thank you. It's just taking me a second. I have the dog. It's a lovely morning. Welcome to this fabulous Tuesday. I'm very excited to be here today. Shelley C.R. from Northern Minnesota, recovering compulsive overeater. Much of what I was thinking about really echoes what Don just talked about. So one thing is that this is, you know, as far as like working with others, it's that part of hope. And I know when I was introduced to the Big Book, and it, you know, showed me how things were at the beginning for Bill. It shows me what the process is. Take me through the steps. What are the actions that I need to take? And what were the actions that he took? What were the actions that all these other people before me took? And so it gives me this hope, because then there's these promises. There is a solution. And if I work this program, it does work. And so that part about sharing, as the reading mentions, working with others and showing them about what the future can hold based on others' past experiences was huge for me. And that's what I work on passing on to my sponsees as well, and leading them to the Big Book and sharing my own experience, strength, and hope. The other part of that is, you know, it talks about that business deal and kind of from a business standpoint. Well, I tend to, you know, put a lot of positive or negative judgment on whatever situation arises. I tend to put my own viewpoints based on my own past experiences and things that I've learned in life. And I pass judgment on these things that I have no idea what the future holds. And so, you know, there's all these moments that if I allow my higher power to take over versus me putting judgments on these things, things happen in a way that I would have never thought could be the case. And so things that I maybe would have deemed as a negative thing right now, because I just have such a small, narrow way of looking at things, then down the road turn out to be a great blessing. And we talk about, you know, people say like a blessing in disguise. And the reality is that if I allow my mind to be open and accept, truly accept things for what they are, then I feel very differently about what the moment to moment is, and I don't have to get caught up in all of the up and down emotional stuff, which then, of course, is related to this disease of compulsive overeating. When I don't get caught up in all the emotional stuff and the roller coaster, then I feel at peace. I feel in connection with my higher power, knowing that my higher power has control and I don't, which then takes away this part of wanting to cover up any of those feelings that I deem, again, as negative or as painful. So I'm just very grateful to be here, to continue to be able to join these meetings more than usual based on the current circumstances. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Shelley C.R. All right. If you're just joining us, we're on page 153, the third paragraph that begins in the chapter, and we're reading through two paragraphs this morning, through feeling and controversy. That last paragraph that ends with feeling and controversy on the next page, 154. Okay, so if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, we would love to hear from you. Oh, after Marilyn T. So go ahead, Marilyn T. Sorry.
That's okay. You were warming up for the next set. This is Marilyn T., a grateful, recovered compulsive overeater in California. Thank you, Kathleen, though. When I'm reading these specific two paragraphs, it just makes me understand how I have to be open to higher powers' will for me, not my own. You know, I might see this and plan this and that, and my life has never gone well when I'm in charge. I have to kind of laugh at it. It's kind of funny now, and that's what they're talking about in working with others, right? And how we approach, so we've approached people, and how is the life going to go with them? You just never know how what higher power has in store. I really think that our higher power is laughing while we're making plans, because this is not really the way it goes, and our best plans, my best plans have landed me in the food every time. So why not try to turn this all over to higher powers plan? And then you're going to get these sponsees. You're going to be a sponsor. And then how is that going to go, right? You just have to be open to it. And because sure enough, every time if you take back your will and you're not in higher powers will, you'll pick up, and which I did back, I started listening to these meetings and getting a sponsor in reading the big book for OA back in January of 2018. Thought I started taking back my will in probably last year, and ended up picking up and going back to that sponsor and really asking her to take me back. And, you know, I think that she consulted her higher power, and her higher power said, yeah, this is something I want you to do. And so what it is becoming, being transformed between the first one and the second one, because I was a hard nut to crack. And it, from the first time to the second time, completely transformed. And then within 60 days of us working this program again, my son passed away. And these are the hard times you're going to go through. When you're working with a sponsee, you never know what horrible things are going to befall somebody or not. It could be just something joyous, right? The birth of a baby. But you don't know. And you have an investment that your higher power wants you to be with that person and stick with that person through thick and thin and through the ups and downs of that person's life. And you're talking about people who were at times emotional messes, as such as myself, where you're going to really need the guidance of your higher power. And that's really what working with others is about. It gets you out of your life and into helping with someone else's life. And really, that's what our higher power has in store for us. So with that, I pass. Thank you very much for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Marilyn T. All right. We do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that in order for others to share their experience too. We're on page 153, the third paragraph in the chapter, and reading through two paragraphs this morning, ending on the fourth paragraph on the following page that ends in feeling and controversy. So who would like to comment on these two paragraphs? Barbara E. And I heard Susan. Susan who?
C.
Susan C. And Carrie, was it Carrie G?
Yes, yeah, thank you.
Okay. Erica T. Okay, two people came in.
Erica T.
And who was the other?
Eileen.
Is it B?
It's M.
Eileen M. Okay. Good guess.
Elaine B.
And Elaine B. Okay. All right. Let's stop there. So I have Barbara E., Susan C., Carrie G., Erica T., Eileen M., and Elaine B. So go ahead, please, Barbara E.
Thank you so much for hearing my name and for allowing me to share on this beautiful program. I thought when I initially read the two paragraphs that they were really insignificant for me, but I see that they're not, because life can be hard. Life will be hard, but we have to get through it, and that's what the beauty of the steps would show us how to do it, the tools which give us further ammunition, and the fellowship, because I need the fellowship of the group. And certainly I have defects of character, and they pop up all the time. I'm living with two adult males in the house, but I feel isolated and alone because we're all on different floors and we rarely communicate. But by being able to speak with you and work with another person and hear how they accept the power of a higher power in their life is beautiful. Because when I first came in, I did not believe that there was a God. I didn't believe that there wasn't. I just had no knowledge. And I certainly thought it was my self-will that could will me to lose the weight. But I was wrong, totally wrong. I needed a power that was not me. I didn't have to name it. I just had to know that it was there for me, having my back. So when I listen to a sponsee give their fifth step away, I always say a prayer before hearing it. It's so important to work with others and to just get through these hard times together, because pain comes and pain ends, but we can get through it together. As in Roseanne's promise, reaching out our hands, I picture reaching out my hand to God and reaching out my other hand to you, my fellows, and unless I have a mutant third arm somewhere, that leaves me no room to pick up the food. And I do have to accept that I have self-will. I'm selfish. I'm self-seeking. I'm egotistical. I'm inconsiderate. And that's only on a good day. But I just have to accept that God doesn't make junk. And we're not junk. And together we can do what we could never do alone. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. Susan C., you're up next, followed by Carrie G.
Hi, this is Susan C. from Pennsylvania. Very, very, very grateful to have these meetings. This is like my great, peaceful connection. And, you know, it takes that humbleness, because, like, I thought I knew everything. I just thought I knew everything. I got married. I was like 19 years old. I thought I was like the most sophisticated person and I knew everything and this and that. But the thing is that today, I have a higher power and I can say, like, first things first, pray first and then take the action. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to be? And because I can, my mode is to take all these actions and then, you know, like try to force something rather than like, well, what's your will? Or, and also learning how to like pray, do the actions, and then turn it over to higher power, but and keep taking actions, you know, and have a balanced life and just keeping connected with other spiritual people and just feeling like there's a way to use the will, and that's part of it. You know, God did give us our will, so my belief is that, you know, we have this will so we can do great things, you know, whether it's, you know, taking care of ourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and financially, you know, but I need to be clear-headed and just being able to listen to my higher power's voice. So thanks.
Thank you, Susan T. Carrie G., it is your turn, hey, followed by Erica T.
Hi, this is Carrie G., recovered for today in Golden, Colorado. And so the directions in the big book here are reminding me that I don't know what I don't know, seemingly vitally important here in this story. What to me today seemed vitally important would be to make as much money as possible. But for me, in the situation that I'm in, I cannot widen my circle by picking up extra clients that I'm helping. So for me, I am practicing common sense would become uncommon sense and having to say no to picking up extra work, which is not my will. And so the reading really reminds me that, and I liked another member said that when I make plans, I think God is really laughing because I just need to set aside what I think I know. And there's that attitude that I can change if I do have a new attitude. And today I've really been asking my higher power to reveal himself to me because I have no idea where I'm going. I can't see the road ahead of me. And I really don't know myself. And so this program, I used to want something outside of myself, like what's in the mirror. I want something different. I want something to change. But the program is asking me to seek a spiritual submission, that ego deflation, to really help me to see inside of myself. That's where the solution lies, is that, like the book says, the great reality is deep down within us. And so today, again, common sense would become uncommon sense. I'm going to do what I don't believe is right for me. I'm going to ask God to do it. I'm going to try to get out of the way because then I can really be of use to somebody else. Otherwise, I'm just stuck in my own self-centeredness. And so today I'm just praying and asking God to remove feelings of inadequacy, whether they're real, suggested, or imagined. And I'm looking to help somebody else. So grateful to be on the line. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Carrie T. Erica T., you're up next, followed by Eileen M.
Hi, this is Erica T. from Northern California. I'm grateful to be here with you guys this morning. These two paragraphs are just really great. What I love about them is, for me, this is the point where I am transformed. This is the point where my recovery happens. This is the point where the promises are fulfilled. Because when I can look at a situation that seems vitally important, and it, you know, he's talking about a financial situation, that is one of the hooks for me. And that there are these situations that seem to hook right into our survival instincts. For me, when it comes to finances or other certain situations, the situation that we're all in right now, when it comes to health, our brains get stuck in this, but it's vitally important because it's survival, it's life and death. But when I can look at a situation that feels that important and I can turn it over to my higher power and have faith that God really does know what's best for me. God knows what's vitally important. I don't know on my own. And that's the point where my recovery happens. My life becomes transformed, and I am able to really live in the promises of this program. I'm able to live a spiritual life, and I'm able to be free from my compulsive overeating. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Erica T. Eileen M., it is your turn, followed by Elaine B.
Good morning, Kathleen O. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in Lebanon, New Hampshire. And this is one of my favorite chapters. I just love this so much. It's a powerful paragraph because, you know, I'm thinking about had he been successful in his enterprise, he may never have made the phone call that connected him with Dr. Bob. And, you know, if you think about it, like if he had done really well financially, he may have gone to New York and never, you know, never had that time with, you know, never met Dr. Bob in Akron. And, you know, as someone said, life can really be hard sometimes. It can be very hard. And the program has taught me to ask my higher power, what is the next right thing for me? And, you know, I've also been shown to call someone in the program and get out of myself. When all else fails is to work my program. And, you know, sometimes when I'm on a phone call with, you know, it working with someone else, I will get an intuition, you know, I'll get an intuitive thought about how to proceed or like, you know, what the next right thing could be. And it's just, like, I love what has been said already is I don't know what God has in store for me if I just follow the directions, you know, laid out in the big book, you know, is I'll you know, learn over time. And, you know, the steps give me something to do while God is working on me. I really believe that. And I'm really grateful to be on this phone call. Thanks so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Eileen M. All righty, we are ready for Elaine B., and after Elaine, I'll be taking some more names. We're on page 153, reading two paragraphs today. So Elaine, go ahead, please.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O., for your beautiful service and everybody on the line. And this is Elaine B., recovered, grateful, in Massachusetts. And boy, I remember the desperation I had, how downcast I had when somebody gave me the number for Vision for You. Little did I know that that little slip of paper with a phone number on it was going to change my life, rock my world. Little did Bill know that that trip to Akron, Ohio was going to change his life. He thought he was all set. I can just picture him roaring around on a little motorcycle with a sidecar and his wife, Lois, her hair flowing behind them. They're going all these businesses, and he gets all these great ideas, and he is in hot pursuit of an outside solution for his inside problem. If only I have enough money, if only people would like me, if only I was successful, if only we could move out of Lois's mother's house, if only everybody would see how smart I am, how successful I am, what a good husband I am, if only, all these outside solutions. Is it money? Is it fame? Is it approval? Is it security? Is it health? Is it, you know, the right face mask, the right gloves, the right diet, the right whatever it is? All these outside solutions that are going to make me okay because I'm not okay deep inside. I'm not connected to that great reality deep within. And so even though Bill had learned the situation about his alcoholism, the obsession of the body, the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, you know, beginning to look at a spiritual solution, the community wasn't there for him until he picked up the phone, which we're going to read about a little later and find somebody in the same condition that he was. You know, it's so amazing. I often say that God sets me up like a rack of bowling pin and strikes me down, which is A-okay with me because the results that I get when I follow my higher power's dictates are better than anything I could have planned, just like the page 100 promise. So this fact that the very, you know, great, good save our lives, Lois business deal he was out in Ohio to deal with ended up in a lawsuit. That lawsuit ended up keeping him there for months. It wasn't a, I'm here for the weekend. He had to stay. He had the opportunity to invest in someone's life. And, you know, that becomes one of the bright spots of our lives, to build this community. That's just what they're talking about in the beginning of this paragraph, you know. Now that we've started, now that we have people who have come together and followed this path and can join us as we trudge this road to happy destiny, what's that going to look like? How did it start? It can start for you today. If you're a newcomer, you can put down the food, pick up the steps, get a sponsor, and let's go. I pass.
Thank you so much, Elaine B. Okay, I can take a few more names. We're on page 153, the third and fourth paragraph. Who would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Juanice Ann.
What was your first name?
Juanice.
Juanice?
Like Juanita, but Juanice, yes.
Okay. Anyone else?
Michelle F.
Michelle F.
C-T-T.
Judith R.
Okay, hold on 1 second, Judith R. Who was before Judith R.?
C-T-T. I use my initials. C-T.
C-T-T. Okay. Okay, so let's see if we can get you all in. So I have Juanice N., Michelle F., C-T-T, and Judith R. I think there was two T's in there, C-T. Okay, so let's go with you, Juanice N. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning, and thank you. I'm going to be really quick. I just wanted to share with just some, I think it's just so interesting that the first description of a person that they say, let's give you some, let me show you a couple of examples, is somebody who had something like disastrous happen to them, and they were able to stay sober. And I am 5 days of complete entire abstinence, working with a sponsor, and working the tools and doing everything that I can to hang in here until the miracle happens for me. And I get a call from my son last night that the mother of my grandchildren just had a complete mental break and tried to kill herself, and they had to call the police, and the kids were really upset, but blah, blah, blah. It's a bad, bad, bad situation. And so my first instinct was, okay, well, you know, my son, who is very functional, but he is schizophrenic, he takes care of himself, lives on his own. So my first reaction was, I've got to go down there. I've got to go down there and get my grandchildren and come live with me. I have plenty of room and all of that. But now I come and I call I pray this morning, you know, and what I heard on the line today was so incredibly helpful. What is the next step for me? Not for my grandchildren, not for my son, not even for their mom who's in the hospital, but what is the next step for me? Because I've never thought that way. It's always, okay, what do I have to do for them? What do I have to do for them? What can I do? But what is the next step for me in my fragile state that I'm in right now? You know, and so that's all I'm going to say, because I can go more into the situation, but I'm not. But I'm just so grateful that I am finding my road to recovery. Thanks.
Thank you, Juanice N. Okay, Michelle F., you're up next, followed by CT. Go ahead, Michelle.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Thank you, moderator. The only thing that really stood out to me in these chapters was just the last paragraph, well, the one after it, where Bill is weak but sober and sees that his predicament is dangerous, he goes to help others, and that saves his butt. And so whenever I've had struggles in my recovery or my life, you know, which kind of they're intertwined, the answer has never been go to the refrigerator. The answer has never been buy something for myself. The answer has never been do some drastic change to my life. Whenever I have been struggling, the answer has always been go pick up the steps where you left off and get going. When I was writing my fourth and I just had really hard times, I found just going and doing what I was supposed to be doing set me on the right course. And right now I'm slogging through my 9-step amends. It's amazing how when you do the work that you're supposed to do, everything kind of sorts itself out. You know, we have such grand designs on our life, and we don't know. So the idea that everyone's been saying about being open to whatever is possible, it's a difficult concept, but it really does help. You know, people don't like the pandemic, and I'm not going to say it's terrific, but for me, it's been very helpful. I have more time with my kids. I have more time with my spouse. I've got my house cleaner than in all the months before that. And this was all possible through something not great. And while the future is uncertain and unknown, the best that we can do is just look at today, in the near future, and ask our higher powers, okay, now what? And do that. And it's surprisingly kept me pretty calm. I can imagine what I would have been like before program at this time. I would have been crazy, really, really crazy. So I'm grateful for this program, and I'm grateful for all of you. Thank you for this wonderful meeting, and I pass.
Thank you, CT. So, Michelle, sorry. So, CT, you're up next, and if you want to take about a minute and a half, we can get Judith in, too. So go ahead, please.
Hi, this is CT. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm walking. I'll be very quick. What a great meeting. Thank you, everyone, for your service and your commitment to the meeting. I had a situation where I had a bunch of women come to me about a sponsee, and without getting into details, it felt very gossipy. And I was very grateful that I had a sponsorship line, that I was able to talk about it with, because it was a concern of mine too. And she reminded me that God is in the plan. And I don't know what God's plan is for anyone else. It's not my job to tell you how to treat your mom or do your job or any of those things. It's my job to work the steps so that I can better treat my mom and do a better job at my work. And I was able to tell the women, this is really not what we should be doing. If you have a concern with someone, you need to go to the source. And, it was all kind and loving thoughts, but it did not feel good. And I felt so grateful that I had been in a place many times in my life where I didn't know what to do, and I was at desperation. And so grateful that I had program that saw me through, and eventually I got to the other side of that. And so I had to trust and believe that a higher power, the steps, and sponsorship is going to make everything right in that situation. I seem a little confused. I'm just out of breath. And I'm really grateful that I'm walking alone this morning in a beautiful place. And I wish you all a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you, CT. Okay, Judith R., you have about 2 minutes. Go ahead, please.
Well, that's plenty. Thank you. Judith R., gratefully recovered in Vermont. I'm picturing this whole scene as a little play and a dialogue between God and Bill. And I can picture Bill saying, but God, you know I need some financial security. How am I going to get this AA thing going if I'm broke? And God is saying, but dude, I really want you to meet this guy named Bob. And actually, this is the way that you're going to wind up meeting him. And in fact, the people at Bob's prayer meeting have been praying for him, and they're waiting for some kind of breakthrough. So here you go. So same with me in my life. I have to trust that God knows what God is doing. And it also reminds me of the remember the guy in the Big Book who had that perfect day? Probably chapter 3, he was those guys who drank anyway. And he had the perfect day. His business went really well. It's the exact opposite of what happened to Bill that day. His partners were going to be pleased and all that. And he went out and got drunk anyway. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Judith R. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. Special thanks to Teen Tuesday this month of April, Kim T, Courtney M, Kara L, Ellen D, Dawn B, Wendy B, Leslie M, and Elaine B. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Ellen D., would you please read a vision for you?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.